This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And a key block by the left guard, Tom Ackerman. And right here, let's go downstairs to Bonas.
Marv, if you remember that big run Robert Holcomb had on the first drive, one of the guys responsible on help busting him loose was Tom Ackerman.
Tom Ackerman up front, and this is a unit that has played very well. A good night for Eddie George. 21 carries, 74 yards. The left guard, Tom Ackerman, with the block that set him free. It's a first down.
Yes, indeed. That's what we do around here. We pave the way for first downs. Tom Ackerman, the great offensive lineman, played for the Saints and the Tennessee Titans right there. And I'm Tom Ackerman, the radio host, and I have NFL picks. You know, for a guy who's just a casual NFL watcher, I was pretty good last week against the spread, Drew Young. 10-2-1 against the spread. Even for me, that's insanely good. I don't know what to tell you, except I'm just trying to help you have a good Sunday. Right now, this one doesn't count. You can't bet on this unless you're trying to do some in-game stuff. Jacksonville leading New England 25-16, 3:02 to go in the game. That game is happening right now in London at Wembley Stadium. Once upon a time, I saw the Rams play there. Took on the Patriots. They got shellacked, actually, by Tom Brady and the Patriots. But it was a nice trip nonetheless. All right, here are the games. Again, I was 10-2-1 last week. Can I repeat that incredible success? I don't know. We shall see. Seattle at Atlanta. That spread is 3 points. The Falcons are a 3-point favorite at home against the Seahawks. I like them. I like them -3 at home against the Seahawks. I'm going to take Atlanta -3. Tennessee at Buffalo. Oh, the Bills. I love the Bills at home. 9 points, a lot of points. Bills -9. Take them, Bills -9. Browns +5.5 at home against the Bengals. You know how much I love the Bengals, and you know how desperate I think the Bengals are. And this is a tough one because the Browns have Nick Chubb coming back, and the place is going to be excited to see him. Everyone's going to be hungover after losing yesterday to the Yankees in the ALCS. This is tough. I'm going to go Bengals -5.5 on the road. To cover that, they've been 3-0 against the spread on the road. I'm going to stay with it. Green Bay -3 at home against the Texans. The Texans are too good right now. They are going to cover this. They might win this outright. Give me Houston +3 at Lambeau Field today. Under the noon game, Miami at Indianapolis. I took the Colts last week and I was successful. They are -3 at home against the Dolphins. I'm going to keep it going. They're 3-0 against the spread at home this year. I like the Colts -3. The game of the day is Detroit at Minnesota. The Vikings are on fire. They're 5-0 this season. Detroit might be the best team in the NFC, however, and they are going to hand the Vikings their first loss of the season today. Detroit +2 at Minnesota. Mark it down. Philadelphia at the Giants. Giants +3. The Eagles have been awful, and I mean awful recently. That was a lackluster game, to say the least, against the Browns, but they won it, and I think they're going to bounce back and beat up the Giants today. I like the Eagles -3 on the road. Okay, the 3 o'clock games, Vegas at the Rams. Rams are 7.5-point favorite at home against the Raiders, who will pack the place. It's going to be Raider Nation today. I like the Raiders +7.5 at SoFi. Carolina at Washington. If you have an NFL lock, if you're still alive in the lock pool, this is a lock. The Commanders are going to win the game straight up. Will they cover 10? Whew, man. Give me Carolina +10. That's a lot of points in an NFL game. Kansas City at San Francisco. The Niners are a 2-point favorite against the undefeated Chiefs. That is just lighting the fire for Patrick Mahomes and crew. Give me the Chiefs plus 2. Sunday night game, Jets at Pittsburgh. I'm going to go Steelers plus 2 at home, even though the Jets added Devontae Adams. Monday night football, I'll take the Buccaneers. I like the dramatic pause in the music. Buccaneers plus 3.5 at home against the best team in the AFC, maybe the Ravens. But I like the Buccaneers on a Monday night at home, plus 3.5. The other Monday night game, Chargers at Arizona with the Cardinals, a 2-point dog at home. Give me them too. Cardinals plus 2 at home against the Chargers. Joining us is a great client, great friend in studio, and that is the president of McKelvey Homes, Jim Brennan. How are you, Jim?
Great time. Thanks.
We have to get his mic on, but how are you? Things are going well for you?
They're going great. Can you hear me now?
I hear you great. And
go Hoosiers.
Oh, my gosh.
He's sitting here
floating
with his IU hat on.
I know. Well, those of you watching us on the stream, you can see that I've been sporting the IU lid today. I'm also sporting a Cardinals MOVA globe. This is a pretty cool item. Now, the sunlight makes this move. How does that work? I don't know.
I was not much in science, Tom, but I know it moves around.
It is a pretty amazing item that's going to be part of your auction, the Dance for Gervais live auction and event at the Third Degree Glass Factory this Friday night. I'll be back as your MC, and I'm excited.
Tom, I can't thank you enough. This is our 6th annual Dance for Gervais. You've been there from day one. And this all started when my sister Pat Odlog, her son Andrew, had a little girl named Anna Grace, who's now 7 years old. She was diagnosed with a rare form of epilepsy. One in every 16,000 people with epilepsy have this rare disorder. And so my brother-in-law Ted, who's now the president of the Dravet Syndrome Foundation, said, rather than just be sad about something, let's do something about it. And so the entire Brennan family has got together. My youngest sister, Kathy, Brennan McGuire, said, why don't we have a dance? And that started 6 years ago. In that time, we've raised over $2 million. And we are the largest fundraiser in the nation for the Gervais Syndrome Foundation. It's very rewarding. Many in our home building industry, our McKelvey Homes, we've really, and all the Brennans have really been passionate about this cause to help raise funds for research to help find a cure.
Well, you're a great partner at KMOX, but you're also a great partner for the St. Louis community. So I give you incredible accolades here for growing this, because I watched you grow this. You grew this from already a good event, but into a monster. Now, do you have any seats available for this on Friday?
You might have to go to StubHub to get them.
They're gone, huh?
Yeah. But for the right price, they can have my seat, Tom. We've got over 400 people. I've been
You'll
working on
You'll make a seat if somebody gives you a donation.
We'll make it available. You might even be able to sit at the Tom Ackerman, Chris Bonfanti table right up front.
Yeah, we'll make room for it.
But, you know, we're still working hard. The money, the sponsorships is what counts. And we have a great silent auction. You could find all this out on danceforgervais.org. We've got some great oral auction prizes. And if you haven't seen Tom Ackerman in action, the way he gets, in fact, he even got his wife Angie to bid on this oil painting last year.
Which is in the KMOX sports office.
It's beautiful. And so I think you got room on that wall for another one.
So we dropped some money on that. We're driving home with it in the back seat. And we were like, now what are we going to do with this incredible painting of Busch Stadium? And we came up with the idea, let's put this in the KMOX sports office for everyone to enjoy. And it is an incredible piece. You see it all the time on the videos that we shoot in the KMOX sports office. So that was a silent auction.
That was
a live auction.
And there's no truth to the rumor that I was bidding her up.
Aha. So you have great golf events on this live auction. You have a Cardinals baseball suite. You have a Pacers suite, a deluxe, actually courtside seats for the Pacers Pistons game. You have a private dinner for 10. Donated by Cravings. You have Belle Reve. You have a suite at the Blues game. I mean, that is a pretty awesome event.
And our son Patrick Brennan just had on Friday a drive for Gervais out at St. Albans. And one of his good friends, John Beck from Beck and Beck, donated Boone Valley, an overnight stay in those luxurious cabins out in Augusta, where they, I haven't seen it, but I know I'm going to try to bid on it. They've got state-of-the-art simulators there for eight. Dinner, drinks, breakfast, golf in the afternoon the first day, golf in the morning the second day. I mean, one of the best courses in the entire state, and we really thank John. And it's just an indication of how all the Brennans have really tried to raise funds to help find a cure.
I know that coming up next, we're going to hear from Lutz Pfannenstiel, the sporting director of City, and Drew will let me know when he calls in. But I want to also mention that your business, McKelvey Homes, donated every single time you sold a home to the Dravet Syndrome Foundation, 1898 for every home. That's the year you were founded.
We have, and thanks to you, Tom, we're having another record year. Every quarter, we started this last year, it was our 125th anniversary, and we said, why don't we give $1,898 in honor of a charity? And this third quarter, we did it for our Dance for Dravet again. I saw you, I don't know where I saw you a couple weeks ago, and you said, why don't you run it until the event itself? So
yeah,
we're extending it.
We're at Jack Donovan's retirement party, I'm pretty sure.
That's right, Jack Donovan, and I tell you, I've never seen a guy throw a fastball on opening pitch with a coat and tie on, but Jack donated the Pacer tickets, the Blues suite, just a very generous person. But we've already sold 28 homes. The best way to help Dravet is buy a McKelvey home today. That 28 homes that was sold is just a little over $53,000 that we'll be giving that evening. So with that, that'll put us a little over $400,000 so far this year. We're trying to get to $600,000. I know with you as an MC, we'll get there.
We will get there. We're going to start it at 6 o'clock with a cocktail hour, 8 o'clock program, 9 o'clock live music, Third Degree Glass Factory. Again, tickets are sold out for this, but
you can still donate, and you can go to danceforgervais.org, and you can bid on these silent auction items. I'm sure my granddaughter, Olivia Rose Brennan, has got her eye on that Taylor Swift guitar.
That sounds good to me. I appreciate this very much. Thank you for coming in to tell us more about this. And then afterwards, you can watch me as I scramble to Bloomington, Indiana to try to make College Game Day.
We'll make sure we get you there. If I got to drive you there, you'll get there.
I appreciate you.
Tom,
maybe I'll ask you for maybe a little parking spot on the side.
You'll have VIP parking right next to the King, Jeff Drew.
You are the man. Thank you, Jim Brennan, for being with us. Always appreciate you.
And Tom, thanks for everything you do, not only for the Dance for Dravet, but for all these other causes in St. Louis. You know, St. Louis is so generous. And there's nothing like the feeling of helping someone when you give. You get more in return. So I can't thank you enough for everything you do.
Jim, thank you. And instead of taking a break, and I know we have one, I want to go right to the phones and spend a few moments with Sporting Director for St. Louis City SC, Lutz Pfannenstiel, who is hanging on the line here for the last couple minutes. Lutz, thank you for that, and thank you for a great season. I know we're going to talk about 25, but let me reverse and just say thank you for 24. I know you didn't end up where you wanted to end up, but you did have some moments of promise there. And I think the biggest thing, Lutz, when you look at the number of draws that you had, that pretty much tells the story, doesn't it, about your 2024 season?
Yeah, thanks for being that complimentary. But again, you know, after yesterday's game, I think that game still stuck a bit in my head. So if you want to first talk about the positives, we can do that. But I still need to give you a few thoughts about the game yesterday. So, yeah, Tom, I think the numbers of draws combined with the numbers of injuries and then again combined with a really good transfer window, I think it put the season a bit in perspective. You know, if you would have been in the Eastern Conference, we still could have made the playoffs yesterday because it was really tight. However, we didn't. But there's definitely, looking at the last 13, 14 games since we had the coaching change, since we did bring the new players in, I think you can see an improvement, minus the game yesterday, but you did definitely see an improvement. And it's now up for us to work hard in the off-season to get the guys ready to do a few more bits and pieces on the transfer market. I think yesterday showed that I'm not there where I want to be right now, and there still needs to be a little adjustments here and there. But yes, I think we definitely saw a better end and than a start. And with the number of draws and the number of tight games, could have gone a bit of a different way. But sometimes you overperform, like in 2023, and then you underperform, like in 2024. We just have to find the right balance.
And last night, you did not perform at the level that you want. Your performance was certainly not what you were looking for in 2025. What happened? Why do you think that you weren't able to do what you wanted to do in terms of last night?
Yeah, I start with a very simple sentence. You know, everybody who listens out there and actually made that journey, the fans to Minnesota so far up north by driving or flying, I'm really sorry the way we played. It was not good enough. I felt, especially the first half, I did feel embarrassed for the people who watch it on TV and also for the fans who traveled. But what was the problem? I think, getting into the last game of the season after coming from a good game against Houston and knowing you're already eliminated, I think it comes sometimes down to the mentality, and it comes down to that last effort, which I didn't see in the first half. We had a good talk at halftime, and I think the second half looked in the start much better, but we got punished against, and that's something I think important to say, against one of the absolute top teams at the moment in the league. Minnesota have the momentum. They're so lightning fast up there with Longomane and also with Yeboa that they are very difficult to play. But the way we presented ourselves, the way we defended, the body language, I was very disappointed, as you might can pick up. And that's something which we also need to pick up from this season, that like a performance like yesterday, regardless if a home or away, is unacceptable. And this is where we need to get better, again, to get that balance in, to be a team which can perform week in, week out, and not having these terrible off moments like yesterday.
I'm certain that John Hackworth will take a critical look at himself, as will you, at your coach. Could you give me an idea of what this will be like here as you make the decision on naming a permanent head coach moving forward? What does that timeline look like?
You know, I have to say that I have to put my stand in front of John and completely shield him for that game yesterday, because we had a good week in training and he tried to really motivate the players and work on the detail. I said it after the game. In the changing room, that I felt the players let John Hackworth down yesterday. I think the players realized that, and the players confirmed that when we had our off-the-match talk as well. So I really would take John now out of the equation for that loss yesterday. You know, that's not something I do and I want to blame on the coaching staff. That's simply the one the players have to take right in the nose, because that performance was below par and not good enough. You know, self-reflection is a very important part. Realizing when you not performing up to that what we want to be, and especially not showing the effort and the mentality, I think that's something we need to address, and we did, and I did address yesterday very clearly. But of course, let's be honest, there is always that last impression you leave in the season, and we had a terrible last impression last year against Kansas, where we carried it kind of bad and sour and bitter feeling. Oh, I don't want that to happen next year, that we remember a game in Minnesota which was not good enough. So we should focus on the positives, which you mentioned when we started to talk. And in my opinion, there's nothing, it will not have an influence for Hack, if he gets a job or he doesn't. I do not want to really mark it on this game yesterday. As I said, the players let him down, the players let me down, the players let the fans down, the players let the ownership down, and the players were very clearly told that it won't happen again the same way it happened yesterday.
Lutz, I know that that has been addressed to the team. What about, this is the last thing for you, what about your roster? Do you individually meet with each player? How does that work now, moving forward?
So, you know, that's actually a good question, because it's a rule in the MLS that you have in the exit interviews, which means every single player will spend between 15 to 30 minutes, and it can be also more if there's more to talk, and with others it's maybe a little bit less in the coming days, to discuss the season, to discuss the performances, to discuss the plan forward, or whatever you want to talk about. You also can talk theoretically about the weather, but I think we have more important things to talk about. And there is also an exit medical, so before the players will leave, there will be some good talks, some hard talks. I don't really feel right now it's a moment to go on holiday after that game yesterday. So there still will be a few discussions in the next few days, how we're going to move forward. But yeah, definitely with every single player individually and also with groups, we will speak, we will discuss, and it will have also some influence, of course, on the roster building. Do we need a lot of changes? You know, bringing in 9 players, 6 external and 3 from 32 in July. You know, we can't change every year the whole team. So we need to have a bit of a trust in the boys right now. We need to believe in that what we have. But if there are still things we can improve and things we have to change and players we have to add on certain positions, 100% that will happen. But don't expect such a busy transfer window like we had this summer.
Understood. Certainly trying to find the right mix right now for St. Louis City SC. Lutz Pfannenstiel, sporting director, always kind to join us on KMOX. Thank you very much for the time, Lutz. Well, have a great Sunday.
I have one more for you. You know, like, now we played yesterday with the first team, game over, but today we have a playoff game against LAFC, second team with City 2.
Yes, you do.
Which is a great game for us. Wonderful weather, 2 o'clock kickoff in City Park. You know, the young guys did extremely well this season, finished second in the conference, finished second overall. I think they have everything to go very, very far. So all the City fans who were disappointed yesterday and have an afternoon not much to do, show up, support the young boys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Support the kids because they deserve it. They had a great season and they really have the quality to maybe win some silverware, which we were very far away this year, the first team.
No, it's an excellent, absolute great point, and certainly the future of the organization right there in front of you. City 2 in the playoffs, 2 o'clock at City Park. Lutz, thank you again. Appreciate the time.
Have a nice Sunday.
You too. It's 11:27. In just about 5 minutes or so, we'll connect with Polo Asensio, Cardinals broadcaster. We'll go to Los Angeles, where he is watching the Dodgers and the Mets tonight for us in the NLCS. And Bernie Miklas is going to be with us at 11:45. Don't go anywhere. Sports on a Sunday morning on KMOX right after this.
Tom Ackerman.
What a time to be alive. Sports happening everywhere here in the month of October. And let's go out to Los Angeles, where they are revved up for tonight. I'm assured of that, as the Dodgers host the New York Mets in Game 6 of the NLCS, and watching it is our very own Cardinals broadcaster Polo Asensio. Good morning, Polo.
Buenos dias, Tom. Buenos dias. Good morning, everybody. And yeah, I mean, this is a feeling, and I don't mean not even on the field. This is something that I don't think you guys or we have never felt in St. Louis. It's going to be about 80 degrees at 5 o'clock when first pitch comes on this game between the Dodgers and the Mets. So it's like summer in October here for the Dodgers and the Mets. Hey, and for the Mets, there is no tomorrow. There is no tomorrow. Today is tomorrow for them. If they don't win today, their vacation starts tomorrow or perhaps tonight, and the Dodgers go on to face the New York Yankees. Congratulations to Luke Weaver and the New York Yankees, because they are going to the World Series.
Yes, absolutely. Let's start with that, if you would. The Yankees toppling the Cleveland Guardians. What a terrific series it was. Whoever plays the Yankees, let's say if the Dodgers play the Yankees, would the Dodgers be favored in that series, do you think? Or do you think it's a toss-up? That Yankees team is loaded.
I think the Yankees will be the favorite for a little bit, not a lot, but they will be the favorite against the Dodgers. And against the Mets, I think even a little more. Why? Because the Yankees have better starting pitching. Their bullpen sometimes is a little suspect, but then again, like I just mentioned, Luke Weaver came out of nowhere to close games for the Yankees at the end of the season. And even though he had a few hiccups against the Guardians, he did the job, and yesterday was proof of it. So I feel the Yankees will have the edge against the Dodgers or the Mets. But as we know, you know, baseball is so, so weird that the baseball is round and it comes in a square box. So we never know what we're going to get.
Oh, you're 100% about that. What has been, and before we get into the Dodgers, your impression of this Mets team? You just talked about them. Anything can happen. They could win this game today. They've got some fight in them, don't they? I mean, they came out roaring in Game 5 after getting trounced for a good portion of that series, Polo.
You know, a lot of teams, and this is not something that we just say, right? I never played professional baseball, but this is not something that we say. A lot of teams could have said, you know what, this is it. This is it. This is it for us. Let them go on and go to the World Series. But the Mets didn't say that. The Mets showed something different on game five against Jack Flaherty, who, in my opinion, Jack was not very mindful because he didn't change his game plan. I don't know if it was him, if it was Will Smith, if it was Mark Pryor, what happened there, that the game plan for Jack was the same game plan he used on game one. In game one, he did fantastic here in L.A., but then game five, his slider was not biting. The hitters were a lot more patient against his pitches, and he couldn't fix that. He couldn't figure it out, or they couldn't figure it out, because at the end, it's not just the pitcher, it's also the catcher. His pitches were good. Were about the same as game one. The difference was the Mets. The Mets were ready. The Mets didn't want to go home. The Mets don't want to go home, especially in front of their fans on game five. And game six, to me, is going to be very, very interesting. But this Mets team, with a lot of, oh, my God, right, the OMG with Iglesias singing, and a lot of veteran presence with Lindor. And let's not forget that Pete Alonso could be playing his last. Every game could be the last game of Pete Alonso as a Met. So are you going to tell me that he's going to just sit down and let the Dodgers go on? No, 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 no. He wants to get there. He wants to get there, especially, like I said, if this is his last season with the Mets, he wants it to be a long off season and perhaps have a rematch against the New York Yankees in the World Series.
Every time it seems like I watch a Dodgers game, Tommy Edman's standing on first base. I mean, I know that's not the case, obviously, but he is just, he's back. And he's out there. He's making things happen. He's getting on base. He's making things difficult. I think that it's a fun team, obviously, and I am happy for Tommy Edman, the former Cardinal, aren't you?
I think we all are. I had a chance to talk to him in L.A. for the first couple of games. And the guy is very, very happy. He's grateful that the Cardinals traded him to a winning team. He didn't want to leave St. Louis, but he understands the business. And he understands that he was going, at least for this season, to a better place. And he's showing it. A lot of things get lost in the shuffle, as you know, Tom. But the job that Tommy Edman is doing, the job that Kike Hernandez is doing, the guys that are not supposed to be the superstars for the Dodgers have lifted this team a couple of times during the season and perhaps even before the postseason. So Tommy Edman is having a great time. Whatever they put him, he does great. And trust me, to nobody's surprise, everybody loves Tommy Edman in L.A. The fans already chanting his name. I already saw a few Edman jerseys in the stands. And like I said, he loves it. He lives nearby Glendale, California. So he's having a good time. And you can see that. You can tell that on the field because he is producing, as we know, the way he can produce. And I think he could be key tonight for the Dodgers. And if not tonight, then tomorrow we'll see what happens.
Tommy Edman hitting .409 in the NLCS to lead the Dodgers right now.
Yeah, somebody was saying, you know, if the series would have ended on game five, he could have been the NLCS, bringing me memories of David Eckstein, you know, the little guy in the middle of the field being the MVP for the Cardinals in the World Series. And why not? I mean, hopefully he has a good game tonight. Him and Tommy and the Dodgers win. And imagine the Tommy Edmund, the NLCS MVP for the LA Dodgers.
Meanwhile, Teoscar Hernandez is 0-18 in the NLCS, yep. But like a volcano, you just wonder when he's going to erupt. And Freddie Freeman, it's painful to watch him walk around and run around on that sprained ankle, but you never know when he might erupt. And then there's Shohei Ohtani. It's just an amazing phenomenon to watch him play baseball. I can't imagine what it's like to be around him on a daily basis, Polo.
It's crazy. Like, I talk to the media in LA, and they're pretty tired of it. You know, when the Dodgers visit St. Louis, they go for 3-4 days, and then they go home. So then we say, okay, yeah, everybody's gone now. But here in LA, everything had to change. The press box changed. The seating in the press box changed. The food, the way they serve the food in the press box changed. Why? Because there's so much media surrounding and following everywhere he goes, and with good reason. He's an animal. He's the unicorn, they call him. And wherever he goes, everybody pays attention. I know this is the season. This is what we're looking at right now. But can you imagine next season when he starts pitching again? It's going to be even crazier. But he is focused. They are focused. Him and Mookie want to take this Dodgers team to the World Series. And let's go back. Imagine Dodgers, Yankees, Yankees, Dodgers, World Series. That is, I think, what everybody wants. Like, everybody who's not a Mets fan wants Dodgers against Yankees. If you're a Mets fan, of course, you want your Mets against the Yankees. But I really, really hope the world gets their wish and we get the Dodgers against the Yankees this World Series. And why not? Ohtani, Mookie Betts, like you said, Freddie Freeman in one leg. On the other side, Giancarlo Stanton, a veteran that during the season he didn't do what he was supposed to, but if Ohtani has been great against the Mets this series, what Giancarlo Stanton did against the Guardians, I don't know if we will ever see that again. I mean, it seemed like you just said, Tommy Edman, every time we turn on the TV, he was on first base or he was doing something incredible for the Dodgers. Well, every time Giancarlo Stanton came to bat, it seemed like every time he did that, he hit a big home run for the Yankees.
I'm certain a Subway Series would be fun, but Mets, as good as they are, Dodgers-Yankees would be unbelievable for the game and to spread the sport to the casual fan for at least a week to get it at the top of the headlines would be unbelievable. Polo Asensio, you're always at the top of our headlines, man. It's great to hear your voice and to hear you breaking down some baseball. I can't wait till we get back together again.
Hey, you know, it'll be fun when Cardo Baseball gets back on the air, but for now, let's enjoy it. We have another 10 days or so of baseball, so enjoy it, whatever it is. If it's the Dodgers, if it's the Mets, against the Yankees, whatever it is, enjoy it. And hopefully we have another chance to talk about it. And thanks again, Tom, as always.
Appreciate you. Have a great time. Polo Asensio, Cardinals broadcaster, covering things at Dodger Stadium. When we come back, Bernie Miklas joins us live on KMOX.
Bernie Miklas on KMOX is presented by Celica Heating and Cooling.
Yes, it is, and yes, he is. Bernie Miklas is with us live on KMOX. Good morning, my dear friend. How are you?
I'm doing just great, Tom Ackerman, on this pleasant Sunday morning.
I am floating right now. I was told that College Game Day is coming to Bloomington. It has been announced. I'm heading there on Saturday. I don't know what to do with myself. My team's 7-0. Please help me.
You know, I texted you kind of late last night because I was going through that Indiana game, you know, and because I thought maybe Nebraska would give them a fight, and they didn't. I mean, Indiana's incredible. I mean, there's no way that anybody of sound mind would have put them even in the division of a playoff spot. But they're in the middle of everything. I mean, it's like anything goes. And what this new coach of theirs is phenomenal. I mean, what a job he's doing.
It's incredible. Kurt Cignetti, he's no nonsense, no BS. You know, he comes from the Nick Saban tree. In fact, his father coached Nick Saban at West Virginia, and then he ended up on Saban's staff at Alabama, and he sugarcoats nothing. I love him, obviously, and they're 7-0. Now their quarterback, Curtis Rourke, out for the game with a thumb injury, so they're going to go with Taven Jackson, who played in the second half. And you know what? The party will go on, and the defense and the rest of the team, the offensive line, the receivers, the backs, they'll all have to play. So you never know. This college football season is nuts. I mean, it's awesome.
It really is. And that scene yesterday at Faurot Field, the whole Brady Cook adventure, it's one of the great Mizzou stories ever in terms of like a single game. And I was thinking about that comeback and how improbable it was. And you know me, Mr. Numbers, I'll only give you one. when even when Mizzou had cut it to 17-6 before Brady Cook came back, Auburn's win probability at that moment, it was 17-6. At that moment, they had a win probability of 94%. And so a guy comes out of the hospital. He comes out of the training room. They're doing everything to get him ready. Nothing's working. I think he probably got some pain reliever. And let's just say it's not the kind you find in one of those little bottles in the drugstore. It was just like, whoa. You know, he was supposed to be out for the rest of the game. What's he doing? And he saved homecoming, and he also, Brady Cook, a proud St. Louisan, he not only saved homecoming, he probably saved their season. By that, I mean, if they lose a game, look, no one's talking about Mizzou even having a chance to get a playoff spot. At least he's keeping that dream alive. So he saved the dream, he saved the season. And, you know, he made Eli Drinkwitz, his own coach, cry in the post game. I'm thinking Hugh Freeze, the Auburn coach, was probably crying more after his team stunningly went down to Brady Cook, who came speeding through that tunnel to save the day. Just awesome stuff. This is why we love sports.
It's incredible stuff. Auburn was desperate, and they get a loss, and then Michigan goes to Champaign. They're obviously desperate. They had to win. Michigan had to win the game, and they get smacked by Illinois. Illinois is legit.
Yeah, and the thing I loved about what Illinois did, well, first of all, there's two things, and there could be 20 things. But first of all, Luke Altmyer is an excellent quarterback, and it's like each week you see him play, and he looks like he's just got more swag, more confidence. He just feels like he can't be beat. He's making plays all over. I mean, they have a heck of a quarterback there. The one thing that concerned me from the Illini standpoint is that Michigan does not have a passing game. But they have one of the most brutally tough running attacks in college football. And I really thought Illinois might have a hard time stopping them on the ground. But they didn't. They did a great job stopping the run. So it was just a great win for Coach Bielema and his team and the program. And it looks like Illini fans are like going gaga over the Illini, as they should. And it makes me happy because I like to see Illinois win as well as Mizzou. You know, I pay attention to Illinois. I have to, or Will Leach would get mad at me. So yeah. Anyway.
No, same. I mean, I feel that way always about Illinois, except when they play Indiana. But I do. I feel the same way. Now, they're going to have to visit Oregon. We get it. I mean, Oregon's right. Great. They're going to be number one when the polls come out here in about an hour. I would anticipate that Georgia is going to jump Penn State and Ohio State, who are both idle, and become number two. Texas exposes itself and is now kind of lingering in there, but they'll be okay. I just don't know. This college football playoff's going to sort things out. It's fascinating to see who the top teams are. I feel like this 12-team playoff's made for like a Penn State, you know, that they will probably make it, even though they won't be considered one of the big giants.
And there's still so many, I haven't gone through the numbers, but there's still a lot of teams that are at least in theory in the hunt for one of those 12 spots. I mean, I know going into yesterday, I think it might have been Kirk Herbstreit was saying there's like 30 teams going into yesterday that you could speak about as like, hey, you can't rule them out. They still got a shot. It might be small, but they still got a shot. So I think it's been working out great, and I think it's really increased drama. People thought it might detract from the usual drama in terms of conference play and everything else. I don't see it that way. And all I do is watch college football all day on Saturday. So, and I can't get enough of it. It's just great action all day long.
I agree. It's my one full day off, and God bless Angie who lets me sit there and watch games and just, you know, take it in. And it's a great, great day. And then you flip the channel. You're like, oh yeah, there's baseball going on. You know, the Yankees. Yeah, the Yankees knock off the Guardians. And you know, tonight you got Dodgers, Mets. It's crazy. I just love this time of year.
You know, I don't want to take anything away from the Yankees and just say, well, what do you expect? Big money. You know, of course they're going to beat Cleveland, because there's times where the Yankees haven't beat smaller payroll teams, a lot of times actually. But then you have to acknowledge the obvious in that series. Soto, Judge, and Stanton had 9 home runs and 19 RBIs, and they scored 14 runs. They drove in 19 of the 25 runs that the Yankees scored in the series. And if you add their 3 salaries together for this year, $103 million, Judge Stanton and Soto, $103 million. Cleveland's entire 26-man payroll is $88 million. So, I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, sometimes, yeah, it really helps to be able to wealthy and be very, very, very wealthy and pretty much spend whatever you want. Yeah, it does help you at times.
It absolutely does. The Dodgers, you think they get it done?
I think so. I picked the Mets to win. And again, they showed some of that underdog fight after they got in a hole in this series. So I'm not going to rule them out, which is a cop-out answer. But I think the Dodgers will find one way to win one game. I do. But nothing would surprise me because it's postseason baseball and it tends to get bananas. Everyone goes bananas. You never know.
And then once this season is complete, we'll start getting news from the Cardinals. I'm certain it's going to be an interesting offseason. We're going to talk about that and more tomorrow at noon. A live stream that our producer here, Drew Young, will be manning on all of our social media channels, the KMOX YouTube page as well. It'll be Bernie Miklas, Matt Pauley, Kevin Wheeler joining me, a four-man team. We're going to cover it all, Bernie.
I can't wait, and I'm glad you're healthy and feeling better, and so you're back in the game. You're in the starting lineup tomorrow. I'm happy about that.
I'm back. Yeah. I kept working through bronchitis. I worked a little remotely, a little bit in studio, but I'm back. I'm feeling strong, so I'm good to go, man. I can't wait.
Got the band back together.
Let's go.
Look forward to it.
Appreciate you, man. Bernie Miklas. Follow him on YouTube. His YouTube page is incredible, and the videos that he puts out. Take care. I'll talk to you real soon.
All right, Tom. Thanks, buddy.
Bernie Miklas. Man, is it good to have him on our team. Folks, that's our show. Enjoy the Chiefs and the 49ers on KMOX later today at 325.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.